an underrated dessert. That's what it is. It's finally getting some recognition. It's Anna and Raven. Ariana Grande's got this new song out. It's called 34 plus 35. And in the video for it, she starts off in a hotel room and she calls room service and she says this.
Do you like desserts?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you guys have baked Alaska?
Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. We actually just ran out.
And everybody on the internet went crazy because they were trying to figure out what is baked Alaska. Can you believe no one's ever heard of baked Alaska before?
What is baked Alaska?
It's a dessert that's baked. It's the one that comes on fire, you know? I feel like it's very popular on cruise ships.
Okay. Sure, right. Like a creme de brulee, but well, you know what I mean.
The creme brulee.
Yeah, one of those.
Yeah, creme brulee, also a really underrated dessert. It's delicious. I feel like it's reserved for steakhouses. You know what else is an underrated dessert?
What's up?
Bread pudding. I love bread pudding.
Yeah, here's the thing. I like any dessert, so I'm not sure that I have an underrated dessert in my life, but, you know, if dessert shows up, I'm not going to kick dessert out of bed. You know what I mean? Me and dessert, we're going to have a talking.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we asked you, what are the top five most underrated desserts of all time? Jonathan, number five.
The black and white cookie is definitely underrated. It is delicious.
I never understood why people got those when we went places.
Yeah, not one of my favorites. No. I don't know that one.
Right. Jessica, number four.
Rice pudding. I mean, everybody makes fun of it, but it's good.
I can't even try it because it looks so lumpy.
What?
Yeah.
I got your back on that. That's Portuguese. Portuguese delicacy. All right? We're going with that one. Pork chops represent. Rice pudding.
Coming in at number three. Okay, Kevin.
Lemon pound cake. Oh, my God. I absolutely love lemon pound cake.
Me too. I do.
I can't even recall having a lemon pound cake.
Oh, my gosh. You can't go through a bakery at a grocery store without walking by the lemon pound cake and just wondering if I could just grab it and shove it in my mouth. It's delicious.
It seems like a lot. But if you say it's good.
Lemon in general is really underrated when it comes to dessert.
Yeah, you give lemon a thumbs up?
I do. Catalina, number two.
Any kind of red Jell-O, cherry, watermelon, whatever, put whipped cream on it, even better.
I feel like on Weight Watchers, they always wanted you to eat red Jell-O, and I was never really into it. Now when I think about it, I'm like, it just feels like bleh in my mouth.
I'm there for all Jell-O.
Really?
Red, green, orange,
green?
Don't care.
And coming in at number one for most underrated dessert, go ahead, Sean.
The Danish cookies that come in the blue metal tin.
Oh, yeah.
It's true.
Yep.
You eat the first one and you're like, ugh, why do they even make these things? You eat the second one because there's a whole tin of them there and nobody saw you eat the first one. You get the third one in and now you've decided that you're going to eat half this can.
Yeah. Then my daughter, Hayden, the older one, she loves them. Like, she could plow through an entire tin of cookies.
They last forever, too. They never go bad. You can have them holiday after holiday.
That's
same
true.
Tin.
Same tin.
It's true.
Goosebumps. It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Wellness Wednesday. It's easy things you can do to make your life less stressful in stressful times. And today's tip is not only about how it can calm you down, but it's actually a type of meditative technique that helps you sleep at night. You know your favorite song, Raven?
Well, I've got plenty of favorite songs. It kind of changes from time to time, right?
Right.
Updated songs.
You heard it like, a billion times at this point in your life?
Sure, that's true.
Okay, what you have to do this time is find the instrumental version of it. It's probably on YouTube.
Okay.
And instead of listening to just, you know, the song like you would normally listen to it, you pick one instrument and you focus solely on listening to that one instrument for the 20 seconds during the song.
I mean, that sounds pretty good. Typically, I would take the music that I would listen to and I would look for a different version of it, but instrumental, like something a little bit deeper and larger, right? Because most of the stuff that I'm listening to on a daily basis is like, you know, it's like poppy stuff. So I don't know if that's going to put me to sleep. You know?
Wait a minute. You want to listen to the salsa version of
your favorite song? No, like orchestral, you know?
Okay.
A lovely orchestral version of pretty much anything that you can imagine nowadays.
I just imagine you trying to find the AC/DC merengue version of something. But I tried to do this, Raven, and I was having a really hard time. I was hoping you could help me out.
Well, what were you listening to? What were you trying with? Was it regular, you know, pop, you know, instrumental versions? Because that might have been the biggest problem there.
Okay, yeah.
All right, so let's take some popular music. I'll give you a couple of examples. Yes. I'll tell you what to listen for, and then you tell me whether or not you instantly fall asleep.
Okay.
All right, so let's start with Grenade from Bruno Mars. This is a version that I found this morning here, and we'll begin. I would like you to listen for the oboe.
The oboe?
The oboe, yes. And then I would like you to keep an ear out for the flutes. And then, whoa, big surprise, the oboe returns. Listen up.
Okay.
That's an oboe.
What? That's an oboe?
Shh. Listen.
Is it a flute?
Good guess.
Okay.
It's very relaxing.
I'm confused.
French horns. I didn't tell you to listen for that. That's like an extra. Oh, oboe's back!
What's an oboe? Well,
it might have been a flute. I'm not sure.
See, I told you, this doesn't work.
An oboe is a woodwind instrument, and it has this weird thing that looks like a pipe fitting on the end of it. I don't know what it is.
I don't think I've ever seen an oboe before.
That's not relaxing to you?
I mean, like, the music itself is relaxing, but I don't understand listening for the instrument. Like, oboes are too hard. Like, you need to, like, I know things like tambourines. Like
I'm sorry, a cymbal. I didn't pick something with a tambourine in it. Let's try again.
Okay.
All right, here we go. We're going to do Love Story, Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Very popular song. You would know it, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
See early on if you can pick out the triangle.
Oh, okay.
Then listen for the cymbal. I know you know what a cymbal is.
Okay.
And then finish with a stroke of the chimes. Listen.
Oh, it's a triangle. They're a triangle again. I heard it. Oh.
Cymbal.
Oh, cymbals.
Wait, this ending is going to put you right to sleep.
Okay, I'm about to fall asleep, yes. Okay.
Chimes. See?
Listen, we don't use enough chimes. I mean, we can get rid of the oboe because I don't really understand what that is anyway. But chimes and cymbals, like, I'm down with those.
See? So now you've found something that will relax you.
Well, I'm definitely ready to fall asleep, so I guess it worked.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Just got to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. Raven, I don't know why this bothers me so much, but if you wear socks to bed, that's all I need to know about you. I don't know, maybe you're a reptile. I could never understand.
Do reptiles wear socks? Are there lizards wearing socks to bed?
I feel like reptiles don't get cold or hot. They always just kind of stay the same. Now, I'm not a scientist or an animal expert,
clearly,
so I don't know that for sure.
I was going to say, because that is very wrong.
Right. Typically, okay. When I go to bed, I'm freezing cold. I'm always freezing cold.
Sure.
But there is one thing without fail. If I go to bed with my socks on, mm-hmm. when I wake up, I will no longer have my socks on, because at some point, the heat of my body will take over.
Sure.
And I'll have to take them off to cool myself down.
Well, you're cocooning under the blanket, right? That all makes sense.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Trending today is Dr. Jess on TikTok, because now I guess doctors have TikTok accounts too.
Everybody's a doctor nowadays.
On TikTok.
And every doctor has a TikTok account.
And this is what she had to say.
So wearing socks makes your feet warm, and this opens up the blood vessels that cools the body down. The body being cool tells the brain that it's time for bed. So actually, people that wear socks tend to fall asleep faster.
Good. Let's just encourage this.
Wait a minute. So wearing socks, which makes you warmer, tells your brain to cool down.
And it makes you go to sleep.
Why is she doing this with some sort of, like, dance music bed going on in the background here? Is she dancing while she's talking to us about socks? Because I'm not sure she's a real doctor.
Raven, I told you, this is TikTok. That's what they do on TikTok.
So there's just always something playing.
Right, or get dance.
Okay.
It's probably like a movement or something.
So she's
like
dancing while she's trying to do doctor stuff?
Well, she's explaining doctor stuff on TikTok. That's how you get more likes.
Do you believe it? Do you think that, you know, if you put them on, you're not even really willing to try because they're going to come off.
Yeah, I don't like how it feels. And if my husband tries to wear socks to bed for some ungodly reason, I'm like, don't touch me.
Right.
I like start freaking out because it's like he's getting close to me with his sock heat.
Plus, I imagine him in always dark dress socks, no matter what. If he's mowing the lawn, if he's coming to bed nude, whatever it may be, just the dark dress socks. That's how I envision him.
Somewhat accurate.
Speaking of sleeping, if you are willing or looking forward to sleeping in the Buffalo Bills Silence of the Lambs house, now that he's going to be opened as a bed and breakfast. That's all I need to know about you.
Mm-hmm.
House was sold last fall, and now they're turning it into a bed and breakfast, complete with a basement conversion, which is the well where they kept that woman down there.
Yes.
This is absolutely terrifying.
It rubs the lotion on its skin. It does this whenever it's told.
Oh, that's nice.
Mr. My family will pay cash. Whatever ransom you're asking for, they'll pay it.
You'll be happy to know that they accept all forms of payment there, and you can also have lotion in your toiletries. It'll be there, which is great.
I was thinking about that. I'm like, who who wants to stay in a house like that? You know, knowing that there's something creepy. It's the same reason, actually, why I'm terrified of haunted houses.
Sure.
Because I believe that if something terrible is going to happen, it's going to happen in a place that's made for terror. Right? Like, well, don't you think?
I guess it would make sense. I guess the more terrifying thing, though, is that it happens in a place that looks like every other place, right? So on the outside, looks like a regular house. On the inside, we know that there's a person down in a well down there right now.
Yeah, no, I'm going to take a hard pass on that. That's all I need to know about you.
It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again. Yes, you will, precious. You will get the hose.
Isn't it nice, though, that it's also going to be pet friendly?
Oh, $129 a night? No, I'm good. The only thing that my dog does is sit. And because she knows that if she sits when I tell her to, she will get a treat. And we recently read an article saying that it's not Lila's fault. It's my fault that she doesn't do anything.
Well, you had to train her from early on, right, and get her ready to this. And a system of reward is not all that unheard of. I mean, if you got something nice every time you did something, Anna, you'd probably keep repeating it.
It's Anna and Raven. Dr. Mary Birch from the American Kennel Club. Is this true, Dr. Birch? Is this my fault that my dog listens to no commands?
Yep, pretty much.
Okay.
if your dog isn't listening to your commands, he just might not understand what it is you want him to do. So more training is needed. A great place to start is AKC's Canine Good Citizen Training. And then also you might have reinforced the behavior and taught your dog not to listen to you.
If you give in, they know that they can manipulate that behavior. So my dog behaves completely one way when my wife is home. And then when I get home, Anna, a whole set of different behavior goes into play.
Yep, and people will say to us often, I don't feed him at the table. I don't know why he's begging. But we can tell you every time there's somebody who's feeding him. It's grandma or it's one of the kids. So they know that beg, eventually somebody's going to give in.
So is it true that your personality will determine whether or not you're successful in training your dog?
Your personality can affect how you train, but the great news is that this is all behavior. And if you use a behavioral approach in classes, we can teach you how to do things differently so that you're effective in training. So, for example, introverts are very quiet people. They give commands a lot of times that sound like questions. They'll say, sit, sit. And it's a matter of just teaching them how to behave in a less tentative way. Extroverts are the opposite. They're a barrel of fun, but they can be over the top when it comes to training.
It's interesting. What are the most common mistakes? Talking about that.
I would say my number one is the owners want magic. They expect the dog to do too much, too fast.
Is it ever too late? Lila's three now, and I'm thinking about it, like, at this point, is she kind of stuck in her ways? We've had her since she was a puppy.
I don't think so. I think it's true that you can teach an old dog new tricks. They learn that this is just a new day. We're going to do things a little bit differently.
I mentioned the fact that my dog has a different set of behavior when I get home. But what I've noticed, too, is it's the same with the other one when it comes to me and his mom. When my wife says it's time to get up or do something or go out or whatever, he immediately snaps, too. But with me, he won't even listen.
So we call that stimulus control. For some reason, he's learned that your wife maybe is more consistent. And for somebody like you who the dog's not listening to, I would say in the evening, take 5 minutes and do some structured training sessions. So you stand in front of him, you say sit, he does, and you give him a tasty treat.
Maybe my treats need to be better, Anna, so I can be the ultimate alpha bacon provider.
That's what it is. Your treats are not as sexy as Alicia's treats are.
I guess.
Probably what she's doing is, like, the minute you leave, she, like, gets, like, pounds of bacon.
Eating out the liver and the steak.
Yeah, exactly.
It's baloney, but there's more to this.
Should children be training dogs, or are they too little to do that?
In fact, kids can train dogs, and they actually many times do better than adults, because if you train a child to do something a certain way, they'll do that every single time. The adults tend to do what I call behavioral drift. They start making up their own thing.
That's so funny. My toddler, she like watches me be like, sit. So she'll stand next to me with her hands on her hips, and she'll be like, sit, Lila! And then the dog just stares at her and does absolutely nothing. And I'm like, oh, she probably can't understand you.
It's funny.
If you want to learn more about how to train your dog, you can head to akc.org and just search for training in the search box. Dr. Mary Birch, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
I'm singing, and I'm singing!
It's the Anna and Raven sing-along line. We created this just so you would have a place that you can call, leave a voicemail 24-7, just sing your heart out, because it's supposed to be very therapeutic and make you feel good.
Yeah, here's the thing. Singing doesn't have to be good, doesn't have to be bad, doesn't even have to make all that much sense, as long as it, again, makes you feel good.
Exactly.
This is your spot to dump it.
Yeah. The Anna and Raven sing-along phone number is 833-431-0905. Again, that's 833-431-0905. 888-431-0905. Let's check our voicemails.
Because the love that you gave that we made wasn't able to make it enough for you to be open wide.
Here it comes, here it comes.
No! And every time you speak her name, does she know how you told me you hold me until you die?
Till you die!
Now, we're not allowed to sing on the air.
It's true.
We've had meetings about this at length.
They say
we are so terrible that there's no way that people will continue to listen to us if we sing on the air. But I don't know how you listen to Alanis Morissette belting it out like this and you don't just
to
sing along.
You
oh!
Of the mess you
she does sound like she's coming to us from some sort of faraway bathroom or something, though. Maybe on an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it sounds very tinny. And is she in space?
I don't know, but
she
really like it.
She could be in space, actually.
Alanis Morissette, that song has to be the number one karaoke song of all time. How do you hear
incredible album.
The minute you hear it, I could be in the best mood ever, but all of a sudden, I get my resting
you-know-what
face.
Right.
Yeah,
your dark
out.
Anna, you broke up with me face.
Yeah.
Right.
Let me tell you about that movie theater.
No, don't play that part.
You ought to know.
How do you not sing along to
that? Okay, don't play anymore, because the lyrics get bad.
They do get bad.
All right, so let's just stay away from that at this point.
And then one of the biggest hits right now, Olivia Rodrigo.
Got my driver's license last week, just like we always talked about, because you were so excited for me to finally drive up to your house. But today I drove through the suburbs, crying because you weren't around, probably with that blonde girl who made me doubt. She's so much older than me. She's everything I'm insecure about.
Is there any teen out there that isn't singing this song right now?
I mean, it's a great song.
It is.
It really is.
It is. But it's also one of those things where when you see all the teens and tweens singing it, you're like, do you understand what you're saying?
Yeah, you say you don't know what love is. But that's how they feel. Of course, they kind of understand. Right?
Yeah, that blonde girl.
Take you back to being a teenager when you got dumped.
Yep. So that whole story is about, it's like this love triangle with these high schoolers.
Don't try to explain
it. I'm not going to try to explain it. But I was saying to like my best girlfriend, Danielle, the other day, I go, I'm a 40-year-old mother of two.
Mm-hmm.
And I know more about these teenagers' love life than any adult should possibly know.
You're right.
It's so weird.
That's how you sell records, man.
And this song, this sing-along song on our sing-along line, I know it from somewhere, but I can't figure out where.
Mm-hmm.
There was a great magician, taught me what to say. And now I'll use these magic words to steal your heart away. Kimo, kamo, stare, stare, maha, maho, supe, nip, cap, parliamentary cameo. I love you.
I Googled the lyric like 7 times.
Yeah.
I don't know what song that is, but it sounds eerily familiar. Now it's going to be stuck with me all day.
I can guess where it's from.
Where?
The 1920s.
Okay. When was the last time you apologized? What was it for? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. You can call or text. Justin Timberlake issued an apology on Instagram. And whenever these celebrities issue apologies, I always wonder if it's from the heart or if there's like a PR
from
person.
From management, right?
Yeah, that they're like, you got to write something. You got to post something. Everybody's talking about you.
This time, I think it's from his wife. I think that all things that Justin Timberlake does and says publicly now at this point come from the direction of Jessica Biel.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably wise.
Yeah.
I got to be honest.
And this is a tough one. Here's the abbreviated backstory of this whole Justin Timberlake nonsense. Britney Spears' documentary came out, painted Justin Timberlake in a bad light because it basically showed him bragging about being intimate with Britney Spears. And then there was controversy why the JT, being a guy, got a pass about the way he spoke about her.
You know, the thing is, he didn't just brag about being with her. He talked about what happened in their relationship.
And when they broke up.
And it was one-sided. I mean, he totally slayed her and the public just sided with him. That would never happen nowadays. He would have been vilified early on.
Yeah. And then there was a lot of talk about the whole Janet Jackson Super Bowl wardrobe malfunction. How come everybody started blaming her when there was two of them standing up there?
Right.
Which is all true.
I mean, I thought he ripped the patch off, to tell you the truth.
I mean, I watched that 100 times. It looked like he was the one that did it.
Yeah.
And you look back in the way the media portrayed it, and you see that you're like, yeah, no, that's kind of true.
15, 20 years later, I don't know, man.
So he issued an apology, and he says that he knows that as a man, he took advantage of that, and he wants to be helpful going forward to make sure things
don't happen, et cetera.
Right. But I started thinking about it, and it's like that Instagram apology is such like a go-to thing with celebrities now. And you wonder.
Right.
Like, do they mean it? And when you apologize, how often do you mean it? Like, Raven, when was the last time you apologized for something and, like, it got you in your heart?
Well, I'm going to say, I mean, obviously, snapping at my coworker, you, or you know, bickering with your wife, I'm going to say doesn't really count. Those are little things that happen every single day. I mean, unless it's something large. I suppose going the wrong way down the grocery store aisle and being faced with seniors in scooters, also not one of those big offenses. So I guess it would have to be the last time I thought my son had taken my wire cutters from my toolbox and not returned them. Yeah. And then I found them buried in my garage like a month or two later. Also, incidentally, happened with my drill battery and my hammer and essentially any tool that I can't find. I believe that he has taken it and it is in his truck. Because for a while, that's exactly where it would be, to be fair.
So, see, you're making excuses.
For the rest of my life, right, I'm going to say that he's got it.
So did you apologize?
I did apologize at that point, and I had to apologize in front of my wife, too, because my wife always says, you said he stole it. I said, I didn't say he stole it. I said he took it, and it's somewhere.
And did he accept your apology?
I mean, he still shows up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think so. I think we're good.
I think it's tough when you have to you apologize and you mean it. I haven't had to really apologize in a long time, but a couple months ago, I did something that I had to walk into a coworker's office and apologize face to face, which FYI, we're not allowed to go face to face. So I had to stand about 6 feet back with my mask on and apologize. And
did
I
that make it easier or better for you? Social distancing.
I still got tears in my eyes because I think when you apologize and you mean it, it hurts. You know, like it hurts when you do that. I'll tell the whole story coming up next.
Because you know you were wrong.
Well, yeah, I was totally wrong. When did you have to apologize? What was it for? Did you even mean it? 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. It's Anna and Raven. This comes up because Justin Timberlake had to issue one of those celebrity Instagram apologies, basically apologizing for everything he did to Britney Spears, the controversy around the Super Bowl halftime show with the wardrobe malfunction with Janet Jackson. He apologized for being a man and taking advantage of being a man in those times where it painted him in a good light and the women in a bad light.
Too little, too late to some, but either way, the mea culpa is out there.
So we were talking about it. It's like when you apologize, there's one thing when you're like, yeah, I'm sorry. But there's another thing when you really have to apologize for something. And I'll never forget. We got this email and there was about 6 coworkers on it. And I hit reply all. And what I wrote was honest. It was very honest. But I shouldn't have hit reply all because it hurt somebody's feelings on that chain.
Sure.
And it responded to everyone on the chain, including a lot of our higher ups.
Yes, we know how reply all works.
Yeah. So I had to walk into her office, and even though we're not allowed to walk into our offices because, you know, social distancing and COVID, and I had to look her in the face with my mask on and apologize, and I couldn't believe, like, I got, like, tears in my eyes because I really meant it, and I felt so bad about it, you know?
Also, you have a weak soul. So when somebody looks at you, you just start to crumble.
Well, I don't apologize often, but if I really, truly mean it. Yeah,
that's true.
When did you have to apologize? 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven.
Oh, just recently, I had to apologize to my husband and my kids because I swore at my husband in front of them, of course. And, you know, it was a slip. I didn't mean it. Then I had to put on this good face and just apologize to both of them.
Wait a minute. So you didn't mean for the swear, or you didn't mean when you apologized? Because if I just swore at you, chances are I'm still going to be upset about it a couple minutes later. If I've got to apologize, I'm not really meaning it. It's hollow.
Right. I didn't mean for it to slip, basically. I didn't mean to swear at him in front of the kids.
Right.
Right.
You meant what I said.
Yeah, you meant to swear at him.
Right.
Just not in front of the kids.
Get around the corner, I'm going to swear at him again.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. When did you have to apologize?
I actually had to apologize. I have 2 roommates, and one of them went home and came back with some lasagna, and I have to say it was delicious.
Oh, you ate it.
He called me out. Yeah, I totally ate it. It was delicious, dude. It was like homemade. Like,
right.
I haven't had homemade in like forever.
Right. I mean, that's why he went home.
He was not happy. So, yeah, I totally apologize. That was my bad.
The best thing to do is when you have 2 roommates is just stand out of the way, Anna, and let them think that it might have been the other roommate. Hey. Sound shocked when they share the situation with you. Be like, oh, my gosh, who would do that? That's terrible.
I can't believe you ate your roommate's lasagna and didn't ask for permission first.
That's living with men.
Mm. You should have seen it. You should have seen it. Oh, it was so good.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. When did you have to apologize?
I had to apologize to the car wash attendant. after my toddler son puked in the car. I just didn't think he was going to be right outside of my car when I got there. So I apologized profusely as I escaped as quickly as possible.
It's like walking up to the gas station trash can and the guy's emptying the trash can and then you're putting the baby's dirty diaper in there. It's that same awkward exchange, right? We're just two humans out here trying to survive. This happened to me and now it's happening to you.
Oh, man. You didn't even do it the once over with the wipe just to like try to mask what it is?
No, bail. It's vomit. Bail.
Oh, it's nasty. So nasty. Tennis star Novak Djokovic had a bad day at work. And by at work, I mean the Australian Open.
Yeah, that's what he does. He does tennis. He's a tennis player. Mm-hmm. That's one of the places tennis happens.
Actually, he's the number one ranked player in the world, I think, right now in men's singles.
Yeah, he's amazing. No question.
And he's known to be a hothead. You remember last year, he was the guy that hit the Lions woman with the ball, then he got disqualified from the U.S. Open from doing it. Remember?
I watched the video.
You remember that?
That was barely a hit. And then she acted like she caught a throat punch. It was terrible.
She got hit in the head by the number one tennis player in the world.
Jean-Claude Van Damme punched me in the throat. That's what she sat down like.
Anyway, so after that happened, Djokovic basically said, like, I learned my lesson. I'm going to try to be more controlled.
I'll go to rehab.
Yeah. Fast forward to the Australian Open this week, and he's at it again. He is so angry. He's, like, dealing with injuries, still doing incredibly well, and this is what happens on the court.
Oh, boy, there's a little frustration.
He starts taking the racket and beating the court as hard as he can with it. Here, listen again.
He went hard, didn't he? Mm.
Come on. Whoa.
He's upset. Uh-oh.
Yep. He throws
like
it.
Microphone gets hit
randomly. He gets so mad. He damaged the court.
That's not cool. I mean, obviously they have other games going on. So,
right.
I mean, I think the outburst, I'm not the guy who gets all upset about that. But if you damage the court, I mean, other people got to go to work. That's not cool.
It's true. Did you ever break anything at work or like out of anger or anything like that?
You know, I can't say that I really broke some things. But so in radio, you know, if you break something, usually you're fired. So that doesn't really. You know how you have to drive the station vehicles all the times if you're going to events or something like that. So I went to a concert with a couple friends, I remember, and it was back in the day. It was a long time. I'm an old guy, so it was like Astro Van was the company van.
Not that old.
You remember on the Astro Van, they have those windows that they don't really open. They just kind of like vent. It's like it gives you 2-inch gap or something like that. This huge window just goes out like this.
Yeah.
So we went to a concert. And two of my friends were with me. One of them had too much fun. Let's put it that way. And it was a long drive for the concert. So we're driving back and this person is going to get sick. I tell him, listen, you cannot get sick in this vehicle. This is a work vehicle. I'll be in trouble tomorrow.
Yeah.
Somehow that individual fit his mouth out that 2-inch window gap. And there was nothing in the vehicle. It was amazing, actually. It was a feat of physics that there was nothing in the vehicle. But the thing was, the vehicle still smelled like it the next day.
He's lucky he didn't get his whole mouth chopped off.
Company-wide email. I'm telling you, it was the most amazing thing that I'd ever seen that he fit his mouth out that window. But he did.
But you didn't do that out of aggression. That was a matter of like just like an unfortunate incident. Raven, you're forgetting, and I'm going to throw you under the bus right now.
Yeah.
The one thing you do in here anytime you get upset.
Oh, what? Trash can? That thing is there for that.
No, it's not.
That's my therapy squeeze ball.
We have, right next to where Raven sits, to the left of him, there's this plastic trash bin, right? Whatever
standard
Raven gets
upset. Standard office size. Yeah. Yeah, about a foot and a half tall.
Look at the walls. Look at the walls.
That's not all me.
Raven, he gets up and he punt kicks that plastic bin, right? And then he's always like, all right, I feel better now. But there's like marks all on the walls. And I always wonder, do people come in here and like wonder like why we have this beautiful studio, but there's random marks from the garbage can all over the wall?
That expression is reserved for very, very stressful moments. Okay.
I feel so bad for that plastic bin. It's kind of like the tennis court for Djokovic. It's the same exact thing.
Good luck to those that have to come behind us and work.
Yeah. I don't know. We might be gross.
What are you talking about?
That's a real thing. It's Anna and Raven. Are you gross? So they put out this list of the things that people say they will never do again because of COVID.
The things that are forever changed or that just, you know, personal choice, they're not going to do it, or just some of them won't even be available, or both?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
So, like, the number one thing is sharing chapstick with somebody. And I mean, I don't necessarily share chapstick with people, but like I borrow my girlfriend's lipstick if we're out and I want to like the color she, and I still would.
You mean you don't walk around with your chapstick in your hand and be like, anybody need
any? Anybody want some chapstick?
But if I borrow a chapstick, I always use my finger. So like I clean it off.
That's worse.
No, I clean it off with like a napkin first. Then I use my finger to take some and put on my lips. And then I clean it again.
And then you give it back to the person?
Yeah, but I don't borrow it often, man. I mean, come on. We've all seen that. I don't know where your mouth has been.
I don't know. I think I would still share, not with like a stranger, but if it's somebody that I'm friends with, sure.
People were talking about no hugs before. Remember that?
Right. We're never not going to hug people ever again.
Right.
Like people you love, like maybe you're not going to hug a stranger.
True.
But you're still going to hug the people you love.
Absolutely.
Okay. Second thing that they say they're never doing again because of COVID, taking a bite out of someone else's sandwich. If I leave a sandwich right here and I go to the bathroom, there is a 96% chance that when I come back, Raven took 4 bites of it.
You're averaging. Typically, we both get a sandwich. I'm just going to point that
out.
Then
want mine.
If you had a random sandwich here and I did not, let's say you ordered a sandwich and you got one and then I did not get one.
Yeah.
Yes. Then that's a very real possibility. And that would still happen.
Right.
We're in the same room too often. I don't think that these rules are all going to apply for us.
Yeah. How about trying on makeup samples at a store? I know this doesn't really work for you, Raven.
Big problem for me.
Yeah, but I always was kind of grossed out by that because I always think about that. I'm like, well, who else tried this? Like, you don't, if it's like a complete stranger, it's one thing.
I would think that's nasty. You know, trying on shoes or sneakers at a place, I always think that. So, yeah, I would think that's nasty, even more so with makeup.
Kissing a stranger when you're out at a bar, how are you going to fall in love?
Is that how you met your husband?
Well.
Next.
Next. I mean, I would think at some point you have to get back to that. Maybe not like a complete stranger, but if you meet somebody and you start hanging out and you have a nice night, maybe you want to say goodbye and give them a little kiss. We don't do that.
Listen, anybody who's ever kissed a stranger or somebody that they met a short time ago knows how exciting that can be. Mm-hmm. I think it's still going to happen.
Standing close to people in line. This one I'm on board with.
Yes.
I'm glad we're never going to do that again. We should always have those things on the floor where you have to stand 6 feet behind me because I never liked when like you were in line at a grocery store or at the mall or something and then everyone's like right on top of you. Like, give me some room, buddy.
Right. You're tailgating me. We're at a self-service booth. I mean, come on. Just back up for a minute. I'm with you on that one. That would be all right.
And this is the only other one I agree with because I would never do this before COVID, let alone after, borrow someone else's bathing suit. And it's not because I'm grossed out that it's somebody else's bathing suit, but because I know how hard it is for me to put my own bathing suits on. And I've tried them on 100 times in 30 different dressing rooms in a bunch of different light looking in the mirror. Can you imagine the stress of having to put somebody else's bathing suit on where you don't know how it's going to fit you?
So wait a minute. So it's not the actual touching. It's the way that it brushes against your body because it has to be contorted to actually get around your figure.
I've had 2 children. Like, I can't mess around with a stranger's bathing suit. I don't care if it has anything to do with COVID. You want me to blame it on COVID? Sure. That's why.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Chrissy and Aaron. Chrissy, let's start with you. What's going on?
We have 3 kids, and we're really close with another mom and dad. They're really good friends of ours, and they have a family. And the thing is, for years, we've done, like, everything together, you know, the whole thing. Barbecues, vacations. During the pandemic, we, you know, that stayed the same. We were in our pod and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, recently, we realized that our 13-year-old daughter and their 14-year-old son seem to have something going on.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. You know, I just think that, you know, we need to put a stop to this.
Aaron, do you agree?
No, I don't, actually. I don't agree. She's treating it like they're really brother and sister, and they're not. It's good practice kind of for real dating. They're not that young. You got to start somewhere, and it's not real brother and sister. And she's making it seem like they are, and it's not. That's not the problem. So,
well, Chrissy, is that the truth? I mean, is it about the closeness of your families, or you know, what is it particularly you're worried about? Number one, are they not ready for that, or number two, you know, what it does with the families, or what?
It's a lot of reasons. I mean, first of all, I think they're too young. They're definitely too young, and I do think, you know, there's a possibility we could definitely damage our family's relationship. We've all been so close for so long and through so much, and I just feel like they could,
I'm
you
so
know,
shocked
when it goes
to hear
out.
You say they're too young. You're such a, you've become such an old biddy. 13 and 14 is not that young.
I do
they're
see
too young.
The awkwardness of like, what happens when they break up or something like that? Then are you guys still going to be doing things every single weekend together and going on vacations together? Right. In that
inevitably,
scenario.
Somebody ends up with their heart broken.
Right.
Well, that'll and be then, the end of the friendship, but that's just...
Well, that's a problem. Like, I would think that's a problem.
We have two other kids, and they have two other kids, and they all play together, and...
And they're your friends.
Right.
And they're our friends. On top of that, we've been friends with them first. We've been friends with them forever.
We're just going to do a Romeo and Juliet. We're going to step in and say you can't see each other, then they're going to sneak off, and...
Well, that becomes the trick, right? That becomes
the
tricky
part. No. In Romeo and Juliet, the parents were enemies, so that was different. You guys are friends and want to continue going forward.
Well, if you tell them not to do something, obviously the pull is pretty strong to go the other way. And
exactly.
If there's this awkwardness between them that, like, let's say that you do tell them not to mess around and they stop, but yet now there's this awkwardness between them. Do they avoid each other anyways? Because now this thing has kind of been breached. I get it. It is a tricky scenario.
Well, what we can do is see what our audience has to say. And they may agree with you, Chrissy, that you have to end this before it gets any further because you have to cherish your friendship. These are your friends. And if something goes badly, then what happens to your friends? But they may see Aaron's side too. They're 13 and 14. You really can't stop them if they want to date. They've known each other since they were little kids. Oh my gosh, I keep trying to put myself in this situation and I don't know what I would do either. Aaron and Chrissy have another couple that they're best friends with. They do everything together. Their families do everything. Their kids for birthday parties and vacations, all of it. Here's the thing. Aaron and Chrissy's 13-year-old daughter now, after all these years, has sparked up something with their 14-year-old son.
Yeah, things like that can get messy, no question about it. You're still figuring out what you're going to be doing, who you actually like in life. And you know what? Chrissy is worried about what this will do to the rest of their bubble.
Yeah, their friendship, these years of friendship. Aaron says they're old enough. Like, whatever it is at this point. Whose side are you at? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
Hi, I think... The husband's a little bit. I didn't hear anything about what if they got together and things did work out when they got older.
Yeah.
You know how there could be awkwardness between families and in-laws. They're already friends.
Seems very convenient for everybody.
Yeah.
If it works out and they're together and it's magical and they're married 80 years. On the other hand,
right.
Chances are, getting your first car, you're probably going to have an accident. There's going to be a crack up.
All I keep thinking about is like my best friend, Danielle. If Hayden, my 12-year-old, married her son,
yes,
it would be the greatest thing that's ever happened to us. Well, and we would be together forever.
Yeah, but you're not royals, so you don't get to make those decisions. You don't betroth your kids to each other.
Aaron and Chrissy, they're best friends with another couple and their family. They do everything together, vacations, birthday parties, all of it. Well, they just found out that their 13-year-old daughter and their friend's 14-year-old son have something going on. Chrissy says, no, we have to put an end to this right now before it ruins our friendship.
Aaron says they're at the age where they're going to be messing around with people anyways. Let them do it together. They can figure it out together. It won't be a big deal. This is what people do.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
Hey, I'm on the husband's side. I feel that the two children, the 13 and 14, they should be able to just make their own decisions. And the wife is worried about, like, the family dynamic. They're at the age where they're not even going to want to be a part of the family dynamic anyway. So if it goes bad, then that's our nose doing.
Just dress them up and send them to Vegas for a marriage.
No. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi, I kind of have a mix. I agree with the mom that they are a little too young. I wasn't allowed to start dating until I was in high school. But I do think that if they talk to the kids and say, you have to be willing to deal with the repercussions afterwards, then I think it's okay.
Okay. And on Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm actually on Aaron's side. Me, growing up, I had a best friend of mine who I grew up with. We had known each other for about 7 years growing through school, and it turned out that dating her was probably the best decision in my life. Yes, our families were all friends and whatnot. We went to vacations all the time, but it turned out to be one of, like, the best things in my life. You know, we had the closest connections. We had, like, we knew each other just inside and out, and it was like falling in love with the best friend of yours is probably the best thing you could ask for. And so them trying to break that up and step in and put their own, thoughts on what their kids should do, it's kind of messed up. You should just let them do them. I mean, they're only 13, 14 once. Yes, it looks young, but you got to remember what the parents were probably doing at that age. They were probably doing the same thing when their parents were trying to mess up with them, mess what they were doing up.
I want you to remember, though, Anna, that Joey chose Pacey and not Dawson.
I never watched Dawson's Creek.
All that friendship for all those times. Spoiler alert.
Okay.
At the end, it's Pacey.
Now you ruined it for me.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Aaron, our audience agreed with you this morning. Chrissy, as much as you don't like it, there's really nothing you can do to stop it either. They've known each other for a very long time, and if they've decided this is the route they want to take, you have to hope that no matter what happens in the future, they'll still be cool.
All right, are you happy, Aaron?
I'm happy, but it doesn't sound like it's going to do me any good with Chrissy, actually.
Well, I mean,
are you out there?
Look at this. All the time that you guys spent together and all the time that your families have spent together, Chrissy, honestly, the truth is that the kids know the ins and out of this already. If they are messing around and you guys just found out, then it's probably been going on for a while. So they could be deceiving you anyways. Ignorance sometimes is bliss, so I understand that you would rather not know. But it will just have to run its course. Hopefully that won't be too damaging.
And the boy's not bad. He's a good kid, too. If he was a monster, obviously, we wouldn't do it. But
right.
No, they are good kids. This is your daughter. Obviously, if you're okay with it, then, I guess
believe
that's
me, I'd be nuts the other way if it was a bad guy. I'd be crazy.
Yeah. All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, this is Liz.
Hey, Liz, you're up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Liz.
All right, Liz, we have $600 on the line. Raven's walking on out of here. When that door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. You ready to play?
I'll try.
All right, $600 on the line. Number one, a 16-year-old named Claudia recently auditioned for American Idol. She went viral because she is the daughter of which former advisor to President Trump?
Kellyanne Conway.
Number two, which Netflix movie, which received 6 Golden Globe nominations, is about an alcoholic Hollywood writer in the 1930s battling his demons to finish the script for Citizen Kane?
Mank.
Number three, Emma Stone looks unrecognizable as Cruella De Vil in the poster for the new Cruella movie. In what 2016 romantic musical film did Emma Stone star alongside Ryan Gosling, and she won an Oscar for Best Actress?
Oh, I don't know.
Number four, Chris Harrison temporarily stepped down as host of what reality TV show after making controversial remarks that were deemed racist? He has issued an apology. Yep. What show does he currently host?
The Bachelor.
And number five, IHOP is canceling National Pancake Day because of COVID, but is extending their free short stack promotion. During a publicity stunt in 2018, IHOP changed their name to IHOB. What did IHOB stand for?
International House of Burgers.
Let me bring Raven back in. Come on, Raven.
Yo.
All right, Liz got 4 out of 5.
It's pretty impressive, Liz. $600. Let's see how I do.
Number one, 16-year-old named Claudia recently auditioned for American Idol. Yeah. She went viral because she is the daughter of which former advisor to President Trump?
Kellyanne Conway.
That is true. Yes, correct. That whole backstory about her is crazy.
You know, I know why they're putting her on the show and she has some talent, but it just feels like exploitation to me all the way around. I don't feel good about it.
I think I agree. Number two, which Netflix movie, which received 6 Golden Globe nominations, about an alcoholic Hollywood writer in the 1930s battling his demons to finish the script for Citizen Kane?
I don't know.
It's Mank.
Mank. Well, I'll put it on my watch list.
That's a good one.
But I haven't watched it.
Citizen Kane, best movie of all time.
I'm so deep in Peaky Blinders right now. I just got one more season to go. That'll take me like this afternoon.
Number three, Emma Stone looks unrecognizable as Cruella De Vil in the poster for the new Cruella movie. In what 2016 romantic musical film did Emma Stone star alongside Ryan Gosling and win an Oscar for Best Actress?
La La Land.
La La Land is correct.
And they dance and they sing and they're in love.
Number four, Chris Harrison is temporarily stepping down as host of what reality TV show after making controversial remarks that were deemed racist? He has since issued an apology. What show does he currently host?
Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Yes. And number five, IHOP is canceling National Pancake Day because of COVID, but is extending their free short stack promotion. During a publicity stunt in 2018, IHOP changed their name to IHOB. What did IHOB stand for?
International House of Burgers.
That's right. I'm
sorry. By a nose.
Liz, you guys tied at 4. That means you get an Anna and Raven t-shirt. Man, that was close.
This is Liz, and I can't beat Raven.
Well, thanks for trying, Liz. Hold on.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, Liz.
We'll throw another $100 in the jackpot. That means tomorrow morning, same time, you'll have your chance at $700. It's a lot of cash.